Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what is going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And you might be watching this on Facebook Live. I decided to do both because I just got back from vacation and I wanted to get a chance to get back in front of everybody and talk a little bit about what I learned while I was on this trip. So if you want to watch the video version, head over to Facebook. If you want to watch the listen to the podcast, iTunes is probably the best place to do that. So here's What I want to get into. First of all, vacation's hard. I don't know if vacation is difficult for any of you, but I have a hard time on vacation. I don't really do well with it. If I have a lot of downtime, I feel like I'm just sort of squandering time. I feel like I'm missing out on opportunities to work on things that are going to drive our business forward. And it's overall a bad strategy when it comes to vacation. So those of you might be thinking, I definitely don't want to go on vacation with Danny. You probably don't, but I've gotten better at it. And I kind of want to talk about some things that I've learned along the way, in particular this past trip. So I was in Philadelphia and New Jersey recently for a family reunion. We took the kids, Ashley and I took the kids to Philadelphia for a couple of days to see everything there. Super cool town, great people. A cop asked me in the street if I needed directions to find a new shirt because I had a Falcons shirt on. And he obviously wanted me to have an Eagle shirt on, but everybody was awesome. The food was great. And the history is super cool up there. And then we went over to Brigantine, New Jersey, sort of like Atlantic City area, for a family reunion. And we were at the beach for a few days. And on Saturday, we have what's called Summerfest, which is this family reunion where we all get together at my aunt's house. And my godmother was there. And my godmother is a super cool lady. She lives in Houston. She owns her own company that basically finds IT positions for offshore gas companies that are like offshore drilling companies, basically. And she's had this now for a few decades, and she's done really well with it. She's grown it to, 100 employees and multiple eight-figure business. And, she's very successful when it comes to business. But whenever when I saw her, I had heard that she'd gotten sick in the last year. And I started talking to her. She told me everything that's been going on. And about a year ago, she came down with an autoimmune disease. And that autoimmune disease really hit her hard, affected her really, really in a very strong way. Her health had deteriorated. And she basically had to do immunotherapy just to turn everything around. And the specialist that she was working with in Houston told her that a lot of this is derived from stressors, from external stress, from life habits. And his explanation was that genetics slows the gun and life habits pulls the trigger. And, it's interesting for me to talk to her about this stuff, because we talk about this, this idea of being preventative and looking at, your sleep, your nutrition, your stress management, and how much you're moving and your activity level with every single patient that comes, through our door. And here's somebody that for the last few decades has built, by all means, a very successful business, and in the process was probably one of the reasons that she ended up coming down with this autoimmune disease because of the stress associated with it and the amount of work and the long periods of a lot of work that she put in to build this business that she has. And in the process, she burned her body down. And, you know, connecting with her on this and really seeing somebody that I know that has gone through this, I work with patients all the time that maybe not to this extent have things that have happened to them, but for me to be able to talk to her now that she's gone through that and talk to her about her business and ways that she can start to work on prioritizing her body, and still being in business for herself, it was an interesting conversation to have. But I want to talk about the idea of how to not let this happen for you and the importance of things like vacations and down regulation and self-preservation, especially the mind. And we know that, you know, we can work ourselves really, really hard for a very long time until we can't, you know, until you come down with an autoimmune disease and you don't know why your body is basically, attacking itself. And that's a tough place to be for somebody that has been successful in pretty much everything that she's ever done. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, I have a lot of similar traits to her in terms of my ability to work really hard and passionate about the thing that I do for a living. So this was a gut check for me to be able to sit there with her and talk about this. And I know I talk about this with people all the time in the office, but I'm guilty of many things in terms of, you know, working significant amount of hours. And it doesn't really feel like work. And that's the challenge in some ways, right? Is when you're doing the thing that you like to do, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like fun. It feels like it's your hobby. You just happen to make a living that way. And as great as that might be, you're still stressing yourself in many ways, no matter how much you enjoy it. And downtime is something that is a great way to reset and to give your brain some downtime at that, because we may not be constantly stressing our body in a manual labor, you know, job, but we're constantly stressing our mind as entrepreneurs. And it's one of the things that we like about it. But for me, vacation in particular is not something that I'm good at. I'm typically distracted. I typically have some downtime to let all this crap that I've been thinking about hash itself out. And then I'm feverishly writing down in a notebook the things that I want to do when I get back from vacation. And that's not a vacation. That's work still. And I've learned some things that have helped me. And hopefully if you fall into this category where, you know, maybe you're trying to get something started, maybe, you know, you have a business and you're growing it or you're sustaining it. You may have a hard time on vacations as well. And what works for me is really to focus on some things that I think are more important. So number one, I get off my phone. Like, I get off my phone as much as I humanly possibly can. I put it away. I don't keep it near me at all. Like if I'm around family or especially my kids, it's just too easy to get sucked into social media for work or emails or anything that you could possibly check, I will check it, right? I'm like an addict for this stuff. Absolutely no emails. And this took me a while to get used to because I try to get back to people really quickly, but with an autoresponder, putting up and not responding to emails is actually amazing. It's great. Except for when you get back and you have like 100 emails you actually have to respond to. But it is what it is. It's actually very difficult the first couple days, and then it sort of gets easier. And then by the end of like a week, I almost wish I didn't have email anymore. But I understand how important it is to be able to keep up with that, but also be able to take a step back and not let it feel like you have to like respond quickly, and the stress associated with not responding and what other people might think, or that they might want to, you know, get a response from you faster. And that can be hard with us, with our patients, because I think with our patients, we want to respond to them quickly. You know, we know they're going through something difficult. We know they're in pain, and we can feel like it's up to us to help them feel better, but you can't be tied to that because it will just wear you down, and you'll start to wear yourself down in a way where you really can't be helpful to them at all, especially if you end up with, you know, some sort of significant, you know, sickness associated with that. The other big thing is focusing on people that are around you. And some of the people I don't see very often, you know, like my brother was there, his wife, their son, you know, my dad was there, my godparents were there, my aunt, some cousins, my family, you know, and focusing on these other people and asking them about their life. You know, it's, I think this is goes without saying for anything, but the more you can ask other people about what they're doing, about the things that they're, you know, interested in at the moment, the more likely it is that it's going to be a better conversation for the other person, you know, and not make this one-sided all about you. My godfather recently retired. He's in the oil business down in Houston. And it's funny catching up with him. As a PT, this happens all the time. He's talking to me about his arthritic shoulder from football back in the day and asking me if I brought any needles with me to dry needle his calf, which I didn't, by the way. I don't travel with needles anymore because if I did, all my family members would hit me up for dry needling. But just talking to him about what he's doing in his retirement. You know, he's hunting more. He's doing a lot of stuff around the house. He sounds bored, frankly. But just finding out, you know, where he's at, and he's a funny guy, and being able to play some cornhole with him and, you know, drink a little bit of whiskey was fun. And I didn't think about work one bit that entire day, which is rare for me because typically 10 minutes doesn't go by without me thinking about something to do with, you know, with work. So this idea of letting your brain calm down is actually really, really important. And I listened to a book recently. It's called Digital Minimalism. And it's all about this idea of how do we manage living in a world of technology, which ironically, as I talk about this, I'm doing a Facebook Live and recording it for a podcast at the same time. So how do we live in this world where we're constantly connected to a phone, to a computer, to the internet, to all these other things that can access our attention really quickly and make it work for us, in particular if you own a business? Because social media to me is not keeping up with my friends' kids' pictures or something like that. Social media to me is a channel for me to produce content and distribute content to build trust and to build relationships with people who potentially are going to do work with us one day so we can help them even more. That's social media in a nutshell for me. And if it didn't exist, I wouldn't care. You know, it would make marketing harder in some capacities. But for some people, social media is difficult. It's designed to be addictive, and it totally can be. You know, these random positive reinforcements and liking things and sharing things and commenting and all this, oh, what will somebody say? And it's enough to where your brain is constantly going, thinking about these other things, and it never gets a chance to actually down-regulate. And we really don't know what the long-term implications of that, you know, is. I can tell you with my godmother, it turned into a very significant autoimmune disease with her, you know, with her business and constantly thinking about her business, being on with her business, growing a business. And if those of you that are listening to this that have a business, you know, you probably understand how something like that can happen. And in particular, you know, in the early stages, it's easy to burn yourself down. It's easy to work so much and really, you know, your body will maybe be the last thing that you prioritize. That's what happened to me. You know, I didn't prioritize sleep. I didn't prioritize my nutrition. I didn't prioritize training for a good solid year and a half whenever I got out of the Army, and I was traveling a ton. And it took a serious toll on me, and it got to the point where, you know, I was sore all the time. I wasn't sleeping. I was really, you know, quick to get angry about stuff. And, you know, and that was a moment where I burned out, and I took a step back, and I started fixing a lot of those things. But you know, retrospectively, if you can go into those things understanding that your brain and your body needs downtime just as much as you need to work really hard, you're so much better off for it. And it's, I don't really know if you can learn that lesson without having to go through it. It's challenging, but you know, for me, talking with my aunt and seeing where she's at, and just seeing how frustrated she is, and how I'm not confused, but I guess just kind of not sure why this happened to her when no one ever talked to her about this. She thought she was doing everything right. And by all accounts, like she had a really awesome life, except for the fact that she was slowly burning herself down with stress associated with what she was doing. And it doesn't have to be owning a business either. It can be working for somebody else and hitting burnout. It affects us. And it's just crazy to see at what extent that actually can happen that can, you know, stop you in your tracks. This is a very physical person, somebody that skied a lot, that somebody who's very active, would run quite a bit. She can't do anything right now. She can't do shit. And it's sad to see. So, you know, for me, vacation is tough. It's something I have to work on. I have to, which sounds stupid. I get it. You know, it's like vacation's not hard. You just go on vacation and you don't think about work. But if you're like me and what you do, you really enjoy and you're growing something that you think is meaningful, it's easy to work on it all the time. And, you know, after talking to my godmother, I have a new respect for, you know, taking care of myself in a different way, in particular my brain, you know, and give myself the time to downregulate, to not think about things, to let things just soak in and totally, totally disconnect from work, which is very difficult for me to do. So for those of you that like what you do, congratulations. That's awesome. It's rare. And I think it's much better for that to be the case than for you to hate what you do every single day. I think there's a ton of other stressors associated with that that can be much worse for you, you know, long-term. You know, for those of you that don't like what you do, maybe it's time to find another path, you know. If it's a cash practice, you know, head over to finsurancebook.com, get a copy of my book and get some ideas about how to start something to that effect if you're a practitioner, you know. Maybe it's a digital business. Maybe, you know, there's something that you're passionate about that you can educate people on, you can teach people about, and you can create content around that can be leveraged into a digital business, you know. Maybe it's a career switch. I don't know. But that long-term stress is just not good for you. And it's something that needs to be managed, something that needs to be affected, because it will lead to things, and we know full well all about them, you know, and we talk to people about them all the time, but when you see it firsthand, it changes things significantly. So if you're like me and you have difficulty with downregulating, here are my big things. We'll go back over one more time. So get off the phone, no email, focus on the people around you, and give your brain some downtime. Just don't think about anything. Don't listen to a podcast. Don't listen to music. Don't read a book. Just go to the beach, sit in a chair, and stare out into the ocean. Or play on the beach. Play bocce. You know, get in the water. Go surfing. Do something that doesn't involve any technology, any sort of cognitive problem solving necessarily in that capacity, like work. And give your brain some downtime, just like you have to give your body some downtime. So, guys, that's it for this one. Thanks so much for your time. If you like this, share it, comment, tag somebody in it. If you're listening to this on the podcast, I greatly appreciate that. Head over to iTunes, subscribe so you can get all the new podcasts. And if you have the time and you like the podcast, leave me a 5-star review and let me know a little bit about what you like about the podcast so we can do more of that. So, guys, thanks so much for your time and for listening. And until next time, take care. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.